The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Within days away from real football, actually tomorrow night and Friday night and Saturday, Sunday and Monday, if you're a big college football fan like I am. But a week from tomorrow night, we get the actual NFL season started with Philly and Dallas, and then we've got week one next weekend. And joining me for, I don't know, a 10th straight year, 11, I have no idea how many years Charch has been coming on the show, but he's one of my favorite people to talk not just fantasy football with, but just football and other things with. Charch is back again. He'll be with us on Thursdays during the season. He's joining us today because that's what worked for both of us this week. At Paul Charchian on X on Twitter. Charch is a fantasy football expert. His podcasts are Fantasy Football Weekly and Chop. How are you, my friend? How was your off season?
Well, I've missed you. I moved to Utah.
What? From Minneapolis?
Yep. Your home? I moved to Utah. I'm out of Minneapolis, for better or worse. Uh-huh. And I've been vacationing in southern Utah, and it's just so beautiful. And my wife and I looked at each other, we're like, you know what? We're in our 50s. We've been shoveling for 50 years in Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna shovel some, you know, there too, aren't you?
Well, not in southern Utah. Here it's a high desert, so really no snow. And yeah, we're just decided. You know, we still have our mobility. We can go hiking. We can do all the stuff outdoors that Utah's great for. And they're like, you know what? Let's just pull the ripcord. Let's do something different with this stage of our life. So we did it.
Wow, good for you. And by the way, you can do what you do from anywhere.
I can.
My wife, by the way, says that to me all the time. She's like, you can do what you do from anywhere. So let's think about, you know, maybe somewhere else.
Yeah. But
she always has like her eyes on somewhere not here, like Spain or something like that. I don't know if I would do that. I would actually do that, but that would make it harder. But anyway, what do we got? I mean, is it Ja'Marr Chase or is it Bijan Robinson, number one overall? Did we lose Charch?
He's still on the line for me. Give me one sec.
Okay. Right after I said, we can do this from anywhere. Maybe we can't do it from anywhere. Let me know when we've got Charch back.
Yeah, because he was switching to a headset, and I think it may have lost connection. That's just me speculating right now.
Okay. Well, let me know when we have him back. It seems like... By the way, Bijan Robinson, I mean, there's so many great running backs in the league. Saquon Barkley, Bijan, Gibbs, Henry, McCaffrey, if he's healthy. But man, Bijan's running style is my favorite in the league. It is so effortless. He is a glider, and then a quick foot in the, you know, dirt, boom, he's off. Just love the patience of Bijan Robinson. We'll try to get Charch back here so we can talk some fantasy football with him. I am in a league, and our draft is coming up this weekend. Fantasy, as many of you know, for me, is not the same as gambling on games. It's not the same rush, but it's fun enough for sure. Charch, by the way, always a massive Vikings fan. For many years, grew up a Vikings fan, and over the years, we have talked some NFL history, and Charch really knows NFL history around the league, an NFL historian. Many times our conversations go much beyond just fantasy football. By the way, Charch's appearance today on the Team 980 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Do we have him back?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Sharks, you there?
Yes. I hate losing 2 minutes with you.
You know what? I'm going to give you those 2 minutes back. It's August 27th. We're good. But I know you've got a busy lineup, so you tell me when you need to roll. But I asked you, I said, is it basically Chase or Bijan Robinson as a top pick, as the top pick in most drafts?
Chase is going first overall in almost every draft, Kevin, and you can make case for Bijan Robinson. I think the real question is, after Chase, where do you go? Because Chase has been so good, so much volume, stays healthy. And the Bengals' defense is going to be awful again. They're going to be passing constantly. So there's a real opportunity for Chase to be every bit as good this year as he was last year. Of course, if you like somebody else, always go get your guys. I mean, it's one of the biggest mistakes people make on draft day, Kevin, is you're drafting at ESPN or Yahoo or Guillotine Leagues or wherever, and you see the list of players and you feel like, oh, I'm supposed to take these guys that are at near the top of the list.
Right.
Man, go get your guys. I mean, nothing worse than come out of a draft and you're like, I don't even like the players on my own team. You know, go get your guys. And if that means you have to pay early, you got to go spend a round early, you got to reach around to get the guys you love, then go reach around that if that's what you need to do. Go get your guys at pick one. Again, I'd take Chase. You want to take Bijan, that's fine. The real question is at pick two, you could go a half dozen different ways. Bijan.
What's
Saquon.
The biggest mistake, though, Charge, players make in PPR leagues in terms of the first round?
Well,
is drafting a quarterback a big mistake in the first round?
Yeah, it is, because they don't catch, then they don't get the PPR points.
Yeah.
So, if you want one of the big four, my draft strategy for this year, and it's this way most years, if I can't, I want one of the four great mobile quarterbacks, including the one you have in your town. I want Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts. One of those guys. That's roughly third round to get those guys.
Yeah.
Or I'm just letting that position go, baby. And we'll come back round 10, round 11, round 12, and we'll pick up quarterbacks then. And if I can't get one of those special dual threat guys with explosive upside, then they're kind of all the same.
How do you see, let's go running back. So you definitely have Bijan Robinson as the number one running back.
I've got him number one, Barkley.
Why? Yes. Why do most people have him ahead of Saquon Barkley?
Here's my rationale. Saquon Barkley scored 7 touchdowns from over 40 yards last year. That's not going to happen again. His quarterback is always going to steal the up-close touchdowns,
right.
So there could be some sneaky downside on Barkley.
Yep.
Robinson's catches the ball a ton. And let me give you a very revealing stat on Robinson. His offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, last year, inside the 5 for the Falcons, inside the 5, completed 4 passes all year, ran the ball 27 times.
Yeah.
Robinson is the man at the stripe, and I feel like that's just to me a little bit of the differential for Robinson.
By the way, I was saying when we lost you, Bijan Robinson is one of my favorite backs to watch, maybe my favorite mm-hmm. back to watch, because his style is very unique. He's kind of a glider, and then all of a sudden, boom, the foot hits the ground, and then there's this acceleration. Like, his gifts are way up there. But stylistically, don't you think he's really unique? Like, is there an obvious, historical comp for the way Bijan Robinson runs? It's not Le'Veon Bell. He doesn't wait behind the line of scrimmage for,
right.
A 2 count before he goes, but he's like a glider. Is that, who comes to mind as a comp for his running style?
Well, just to be clear, I'm going to give you a Hall of Famer because he's the first guy that jumped to my mind, and so I'm not putting Bijan Robinson at Eric Dickerson.
I was going to say
yet.
Dickerson, yeah.
Yep, but that's stylistically, I think there's a little something there. Dickerson also had the glide and then the acceleration, and just poof, he's gone.
Yeah.
But what happened? Just outrunning everybody. So that's the comp that immediately jumps to my mind. But let me tell you about who I've got at running back 3. Ashton Jeanty.
Already.
already. Man, I just you don't run into opportunities like this for very many players where you are an astounding college producer on the ground, through the air, pass protection, and you drop into a system that's going to run the wheels off you. I mean, the productivity opportunity is so high. And sure, I'd love it if Genty was on a different team, but Pete Carroll had his Marshawn Lynch beast mode for years. He's got his new beast mode. Chip Kelly's the offensive coordinator. Last time Chip Kelly was a head coach in the NFL back a decade ago when he was with the Eagles, he ran the ball inside the five and at 84% rate, never threw. So I think it's going to be just a monster year for Ashton Genty.
That's interesting. I mean, I can envision, as you said that about Chip Kelly, obviously it was always up tempo, and mm-hmm. they were just hammering it in from the five. If Christian McCaffrey to me is a very interesting guy, because he could easily be 80 receptions, 1,200 plus yards, and he could also mm-hmm. be done for the year after week one. So how do you handle Christian McCaffrey?
Biggest high-risk, high-reward player in this draft is Christian McCaffrey. If you want to take him, you're going to have to take him roughly pick 8, which is where he's going right now. So there are 7 people in your league that are passing on him. Maybe they're cowards. Maybe they're doing exactly what they ought to be doing with Christian McCaffrey. The reason I'm not drafting him is – and week one, we're all going to feel like morons for not drafting him, because week one, he's going to be great, and they're going to throw him a million times, and McCaffrey's going to be great. Do you want to put your first round equity into an aging running back, the position that has the highest failure rate, running back? You know, over the last 6 years, McCaffrey has been either fantastic or he's cost you your year. I don't want to put risk, that much risk, at the top of my draft in my most valuable selections. I put risk, and running back risk especially, into the middle of my draft. I want sure things in the first round, as close to sure things as we can get. Justin Jefferson, C.D. Lamb, Puka Nacua, Nico Collins. Give me safe players in the first round. I don't want to put risk at my most valuable draft selections.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's stick with running back, and then we'll come back to wide receiver and quarterback here in a moment. But give me the back that you think is under the radar and will be a steal at some point. You mentioned Genty, but beyond that, because Genty's going to go really high.
Okay, so I'm going to give you another player that's going high, but not high enough. Chase Brown for Cincinnati.
Oh, my God. I was going to say Dickerson, and I've got Chase Brown right now highlighted. I swear to God.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So tell everybody why you like Chase Brown.
The Bengals runner is the do-everything workhorse in what should be a top-5 scoring offense.
Yeah.
He gets the ball at the stripe. They started throwing to him in the middle of last year, and from week 9 forward, second half of the year, last year, Chase Brown was number 2 in running back utilization and number 4 in PPR points scored by running backs. And he walks right into this same role where they're going to throw to him all year now. Chase Brown's got 2,000-yard upside if everything breaks right. He'll catch 600 yards, and he might run for 1,400 yards. So Chase Brown, to me, I've got him at running back 5. You know, typically he's going off the board like running back 10, running back 11.
Yeah.
So I love Chase Brown, and one of my favorite players to dramatically outperform his draft spot. And then if I can give you a deeper player, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please.
Running and staying at the running back position, because that's what you asked for. Probably my favorite overall sleeper, and I've been banging the drum on this guy since March, which is why you and I should talk more in the offseason. Jordan Mason in Minnesota is going to be in a no less than a 50-50 timeshare in the backfield, and he's going to get all the goal line carries. The Vikings massively improved their offensive line through the interior. They're going to run way more this year with J.J. McCarthy, a quarterback. This is going to be a much more balanced offense than it has been at any other time under Kevin O'Connell. And Jordan Mason is going to get all of those goal line carries. Last year, Aaron Jones just isn't built for this. Last year, Aaron Jones had 13 carries from inside the five for negative 2 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns on the season.
Yeah.
And when I asked Aaron Jones about Jordan Mason, he told me Jordan Mason's going to get the short yardage work. So that's as good a source as you need on Jordan Mason and why I think he's going to be potentially a double-digit touchdown scorer this year.
I thought you were going to mention potentially Hubbard or Connor, because I think both of those teams are interesting offensively this year. Maybe not as rough in Carolina here in year two of that system than people are expecting. All right, wide receiver-wise, all right, I mean, it's Chase, it's Jefferson, you've mentioned Nacua, obviously Lamb's going to be at the top. Give me, you know, somebody kind of wide receiver 10 or below that you really like.
Cortland Sutton is vastly
undergrafted
right now.
He's a good player, too. Healthy, man.
Yes.
Good receiver.
He is a good player. I really like Cortland Sutton. And one of the things I love about him, he is such an alpha receiver on his team. I mean,
no doubt.
Cortland Sutton, the next wide receiver up is Marvin Mims. And he's got the big body, the contested catches, perfect for end zone use. In fact, second highest end zone target percentage among wide receivers last year, Cortland Sutton. Bo Nix turned very functional over the course of the season as a passer and started really identifying Cortland Sutton. We saw Sutton play so much better after Nix really stabilized about week 6 forward. And if you think Bo Nix has got room to get better as a sophomore, then you got to love his alpha receiver, Cortland Sutton. Currently going off the board, wide receiver as ADP, wide receiver 28, I've got him at wide receiver 16. So
wow.
I've got a big delta on him, and I like him a lot more than other people do.
All right. Real quickly, we'll end with quarterbacks. I was talking about a player either yesterday or on Monday that I think people are going to become, I think he's going to become a household name this year. And not that people in the league don't understand how good this player is, but I think a lot of fans think Kittle, think Brock Bowers. Trey McBride is the real deal. Is he anywhere near tight end one? I would assume Bowers is one.
Bowers is one of them, and McBride's two. And then there's the separation to the next guy. Yeah, we love McBride. And, you know, last year struggled with the touchdowns. And if you remember, they got to like week 16 or 17, and he had sitting in no touchdowns. So they started throwing to the end zone. Like, they didn't want him to go the whole year without scoring. So they had one game where they made up for it, and they threw him in the end zone all the time and finally got him his touchdown. That's true.
I remember. Yeah, that's right. It was a while, and yet he was a highly productive player, just no touchdowns.
Yes. McBride was going crazy, like leading. You know, I think he was either leading all tight ends in receptions or right there with Brock Bowers. And you'll remember Brock Bowers set the all-time rookie record for receptions at any position last year, which is pretty crazy as a rookie, and it's part of why we love him. But if there's anybody that's going to have the regression on touchdowns, it's the positive regression, it's going to be Trey McBride. I mean, the last 2 years, he's been targeted 106 times and 147 times. That's 253 targets. He only had 5 touchdowns those 2 years. It's got to, you know, it's just sooner or later, you can't have the ball coming your way that often and only average 2.5 touchdowns a year. So the touchdowns are going to come. Trey McBride's my number 2 tight end this year.
All right, we're talking to Paul Charchian, everybody. Charch is going to be with us again throughout this upcoming NFL season. Let's just end with quarterbacks. You mentioned the top 4. Do you have them in an order? Do you have a specific order that you're confident about?
I do. Or
could you shake them up in any, you know, which way and be fine with either Allen, you know, Lamar, Jaden, or Hurts?
Yeah, take whoever you like. If you're going to go that way, take whoever you like. I've got Jaden third. The reason to move Jaden, you know, to not have Jaden one, I think, is just health concern, just injury concern because he's slight of build. But that might not mean anything. And, you know, we don't know that. What I love about Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts is the tush push. You know, it's unreplicatable. You can't, not everybody can tush push. Lamar Jackson can't. And Lamar Jackson, over the last 3 years, 3 years. He has three touchdowns from inside the five. You know, they don't use
That's
him that
it?
Way.
Yeah.
That's it.
I thought you were going to give me specific quarterback sneak data.
Yeah. Yes. Well, this, which is very close. This is inside the five data, but it's effectively quarterback sneak data as well. You know, Hurts and Allen just give you that advantage of just piling up 10-plus rushing touchdowns every year, and there's a certain safety with that. Whereas Jackson and Daniels break off these 50-yard touchdown runs. You know, they've got the open field speed, and, you know, they can help you with their legs in different ways, but not the tush-push ways.
All right, give me a QB, you know, after, I mean, Burrow, I'm assuming, is five or Mahomes, right? One of the two?
Yeah, Burrow, yep. And actually, I've got Mahomes down a bit, but yeah, I've got Burrow, then Bo Nix, actually. The player to target, the quarterback to target later in your draft, or at least I'm doing, Drake May. With Drake May, you do get rushing. He's not at the level of the four guys we just talked about, but he's 500 yards, five rushing touchdowns. I mean, that's real numbers. Downright gallant last year, playing behind the worst offensive line in football and the worst set of receivers last year for the Patriots. They now have competent coaching in New England. Josh McDaniels is back. Mike Vrabel is there. And they've got Stephon Diggs to throw to now. This is going to be and Travion Henderson might catch 60 passes this year. I mean, there's just so many things there's so many reasons to think the Patriots offense is going to be better, and that Drake May, who was a decent fantasy producer last year, is going to make a big jump in year two.
What do you think of the opportunity with a Kyler Murray?
Hard to get excited. The Cardinals have the exact same 11 starters on offense they had last year.
Right.
Which almost never happens. They did not put a single upgrade into that offense. Not one. And I feel like we've just seen what we've got out of Kyler Murray. We don't get close rushing touchdowns. He runs some, not a lot. The passing is highly inconsistent. I just think that his cap is what we've already seen. And if you want to know part of the reason why last year we had so many struggles with Marvin Harrison, who would just, he'd give us two catch 25-yard games. He was getting misfired on a lot by Kyler Murray, and those two were not on the same page a lot. Hopefully it gets better this year, but I just think we've seen who Kyler Murray is, and from a fantasy standpoint, it's quarterback 10, quarterback 12.
Can't wait to do this with you every week. Appreciate it. Glad the move went well and you guys are happy in southern Utah. Won't be able to talk snowstorms in November or October. You know, I think one of those years it was like a Halloween blizzard and I had you on like the day after or something. Man, that would be rough to have that as your climate. But thanks, George. Look forward to it.
International Falls, Minnesota, yesterday.
What was it?
They had a frost warning because the lows were going to dip near 32 degrees.
Yeah. Well,
yesterday.
International Falls is very north of Minneapolis, St. Paul.
It is the northernmost point of the continental U.S., but
correct.
Still. Yeah. It's August.
It's a bit too early, August 26th, to have that. Although it's been beautiful weather here as well. All right, I'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Paul Charchi and everybody. We'll talk 53-man cutdown next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, you can watch us now on our Team 980 YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button and hit the like button when you get there.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.